Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hello there. It is a Monday morning. It's cold out there.
And it's cold out there.
It's cold out there. Make sure you bundle up. Start your cars early. Let them warm up.
Actually, are you really? I heard that's not a thing. Like, you don't have to. Like, my wife starts her car for like 75 minutes before she leaves the house.
Oh, my God.
And I think it's a bit excessive.
I think that's excessive.
Like, what does it take? 5 minutes just for your, like, maybe your heater to warm up so that at least warm air is coming out to warm up the inside? Five minutes?
I feel like you need about somewhere, I think the average is 10 minutes.
Okay, yeah, like no more than 10 minutes.
Yes. Enough to, like, get the engine warmed
up. Yeah,
it's and then, like, the I wait long enough to, like, get the interior warm
yes.
so I can bearably drive.
But at that point, you're good to go, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Molly, you heard that, right? You heard what we came to a conclusion on, that, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if you've been here from the start, we are in our fourth calendar year of podcasting. It is so damn crazy. But we used to do a segment, an episode where we called it I've Never Seen. And it was usually where we would bring up a movie that one of us really loved, the other hadn't seen. And we did like not a full episode review, but more of just a conversation about it.
Yeah.
And that has sort of evolved into just where we're picking a movie for a brunch that's probably not going to get its full-blown episode. But every once in a while, it will also kind of fall under the I've Never Seen moniker, because I believe both of you have not seen this movie before, correct?
I have not.
That is right. I have not seen it.
Well, we're talking about 1998's Clay Pigeons, and if you've never seen it either, I'm going to blow your mind here, because this, we're talking Joaquin Phoenix, Vince Vaughn, and Janine Garofalo. Three of my favorite people to ever do it in the 90s, 2000s, and they're in a movie together. When I first saw this, this came out in 98. In 2000, I was in the dorms, and that was an era where there's no streaming services. You had to go to a Blockbuster to rent a movie. But there were also movies where, like, they never made their way to a Blockbuster somehow. Or they, you know, there'd be movies where there'd be like 10 copies of it, but then there'd be one where there was just one copy.
Yep.
Because they're like, people don't really know about this movie. You know, like, And I feel like Clay Pigeons was one of those, because I was in that era where if you showed, like, I first saw Boondock Saints in the dorms, and I felt like I had seen, like, I was let in on a secret.
This is the future of movies.
Yes, I felt that way. And I then felt that way. Same guy showed me Clay Pigeons, sat me down in my dorm one night. We snuck a couple beers in there.
How nice.
And he's like, well, if you like Boondock Saints, you're going to love Clay Pigeons. And I did. I fell instantly in love with it. I thought it was such a smart thriller. I'd never really seen anything like this. And I'm looking at some of these actors being like, man, this Vince Vaughn guy, this Joaquin Phoenix, these guys are amazing. Janine Garofalo. And so I honestly loved this movie. But I want to kind of know what your guys' first thoughts were on this. Like, I went into it assuming that I think you guys would have liked this movie.
Number one, I just want to say your friend said, well, if you like Boondock Saints, you're going to love this. I think they were just literally trying to get you to watch the movie. I don't think there's any real correlation there.
I think there is. It's kind of a, I don't know.
It's that 90s quirky crime.
Well, funny, but not. Like,
there's no Dropkick Murphys in this. You know, when we did this, we always used to say, well, look at the poster. Tell us what you think.
Oh, we did. Did you write it down at all? We should have done that again.
I will give you my
what you thought
what
it was about
right now. This looks like it was in the same time frame of Dazed and Confused, But it's like Looney Tunes meets porn because Vince Vaughn looks like a porn star and it looks like the Looney Tunes like big thing that they pop out of like and then on top of that, it just reminds me of like Dazed and Confused and Empire Records.
Yeah.
That's all like that's all I'm gathering from this. I don't know.
Did you have any conception going into this movie what it was about? Have you ever heard about it?
No. Zero.
I remember seeing it on the shelves and I thought that it was like a Monkey Bone sequel.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Like with Bedazzled.
Brendan, yeah. Like our Academy Award winner, Brendan Fraser, a new movie by him. I didn't ever see him on the poster or like the cover art or anything, but I was like, he's got to be here somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was always there.
Same vein. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, it was directed by David Dobkin, who I looked him up. I hadn't really heard much of him. He did a lot of music videos, like many people seem to do. Music videos takes you into actual full-blown movie directing. But he also did direct Wedding Crashers, what, a couple years later after this. Another interesting thing, Scott Wilson plays Sheriff Mooney. Did you recognize him at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love Scott Wilson.
Yeah, for me, he's always Herschel in The Walking Dead. That's how I call it.
Basically, when, yeah.
A great kind of mockumentary horror movie about a slasher called Behind the Mask.
Okay.
He's awesome.
He's great.
Love that.
But the thing, if you're going to watch this now, let's say you've never seen this and you're going to watch it to listen to this episode, you have to put yourself back in 1998. Joaquin Phoenix was, you know, a bit of a child actor, kind of in the shadows of his brother. But he had done a couple roles, like we saw him in Parenthood.
Yeah.
You know, he's this young teenager kind of making his way. He's about ready to go and do Gladiator and Signs in the next couple of years, which is going to just throw him into the ethos of how we know Joaquin now. But at this point, bit of an unknown, and you can kind of tell in his acting. Then you got Vince Vaughn, who had just done Swingers, which if you saw Swingers, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, I love that guy. But I don't feel like that meant not many people saw Swingers kind of right when it came out. So he's not a household name. 5 years after this movie, he goes on to do Old School, Dodgeball, and Wedding Crashers, shooting him into the ethos. But so both these guys were not really, I feel like if they would have made this movie in like 2008, it probably would have been a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been more popular.
I feel like Gus Van Sant saw Vince Vaughn and Clay Pigeons and said, I need to have him play Norman Bates in my remake of Psycho.
You think so?
100%. Like, saw him as this like serial killer in this movie and was like, he's got to be in my remake of Psycho.
Have you guys
seen that movie?
No, I've not.
He's pretty good in it. Like, it's pretty much like a straight up shot for shot remake of Psycho, which is not necessary, but it's interesting because Vince Vaughn is Norman Bates, you know? And I feel like, yeah, that's exactly where Gus Van Sant got the idea to cast him. But
hell yeah.
Well, most people think of Vince Vaughn as that. He's the funny guy in all these movies. So, and that's why it's so interesting to see him in this or the Psycho remake where, man, he's frightening kind of as this like serial killer guy in this movie. Like,
scary good.
Scary good is a great way to put it. And then you got, I mean, Janine Garofalo, I feel like she's always been a thing, you know, but I mean, she maybe was a little bit lesser known when this movie came out as well. Maybe just a little bit.
Mystery Men maybe before this. Mm. I feel like she was in that. Yeah. Everyone was in that.
Yeah, something like that. Well, Janine Garofalo was always one of those under the radar for me, you know, and then when, but she pops up and then it's like, oh, awesome.
She's Janine Garofalo. Good.
Yeah. It's like, awesome. I love that.
I feel like this is I think this is her best role, to be honest.
You think so?
I think this is the best thing I've ever seen her in.
I don't know, man. For sure. Must Love Dogs. Pretty fucking.
Yeah, it's underrated.
Well, a couple more things. So, I mean, it wasn't the greatest. If you look at ratings on this, 6.6 on IMDb. That's not that great. Like we said, anything below a 7's shit pretty much on IMDb. 61% by the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty low as well. I don't know. I wonder, like, I still really do like this movie. I went back and watched this whole thing, and it made me laugh. It was a great journey of just, like, mystery and stuff. And so I have a little trouble kind of picking apart that rating and seeing why people are so low. But that's why I wanted to have you guys on here about, I mean, what were your overall thoughts on this movie after watching it for the first time, not knowing anything about it?
Yeah.
Well, I think when it first started off, I was super excited about it because it just starts you off with these two friends
Bam.
Who are just shooting bottles. And I think that it's a really cool cold open because we don't know these characters. We don't know who they're talking about. Like, nope. We don't know who Amanda is yet. But we find out, you know, obviously that Joaquin's character, Clay, has been cheating on, well, I guess his friend's wife has been cheating on him with Clay, his best friend. Mm-hmm. And so he kills himself right here and there. And then I think it was like a great cold open just to be like, okay, here's what's going on now. We are with Clay having to figure it out yes. the whole movie. And, you know, it goes in different directions than I thought it was going to, which, you know, was fine. But I thought that was a great, really cool, like, especially so 90s cold open.
Completely.
To a movie,
and, you know? And it yeah. starts right away. Boom, we're in the movie and they grab you and they say, let's go.
I mean, this is like wow. this is like a during the time in the 90s where like these quirky crime movies were being made,
yep.
like Coen Brother movies, or even a movie that I really like called Red Rock West with Nick Cage. It's just like a cool, like, noir crime movie that's in the 90s. I love these kinds of movies, and I loved how it's set up like this right off the bat. What did you think, AJ?
Well, it gives, like, in this very beginning scene, the reason I enjoy it so much, and I think why I think it does work very well, is because we have no background of them. And when you have no background of two people, and one of them is accusing them of something or lying, and the other person is either denying it or trying to tell the truth, that's a very, very kind of fun place to be put in as a viewer, because you don't necessarily know, even though maybe you do, you have an inkling as well. I can tell he's kind of lying. I think in this movie, it plays very well though. You don't have any background between these two, but I know you've been doing it. And when you have somebody who's basically just sitting there like gaslighting the other person and just committed to their lie, you know, it's very exciting, and it gets you on the edge very quickly. So I think it plays up very, very well up to this, like throughout this initial. And I don't know, there's just kind of this underlying anxiety that just lies. lays the foundation of this movie.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's kind of like Super Dark Times in that way.
Right. I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that up. It's because you mentioned often enough, Sean, the bomb under the table.
Yeah.
And I like this bomb under the table of, we know something that only this character knows now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really exciting, even though he's trying to just go on with life.
And you know what I mean? It'd be easier for our main character to just tell someone what's actually going on rather than cover it up the whole time, you know? But I do like, because you think, I think anyway, an actor like Scott Wilson playing the sheriff, I was like, oh, well, he's going to be a badass. He's going to find it out right away.
Nope.
Like, the sheriff is actually like kind of like a meek, kind of weak character where he's like, he doesn't like any confrontation like this. He doesn't like that he's got to solve a murder, you
almost
know?
Almost too trusting for a sheriff.
I like that this. About it. You yeah. never really see that. It's always a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, funny you were here. It's always going to be yeah. something like that.
Well, those tracks are different from these, you know, something like
he
that.
He said he went off right over there.
Yeah.
Over there. He just the most monotone, never excited yeah. in his voice. I'm the only bad thing about this intro is that Gregory Spoiler's gone.
I know, yeah. I like him.
He's been in a few of our movies, The
True
Rock,
Romance.
True Romance.
True Romance.
He's so fucking good. I just wanted more of him after the way he shot himself and goes, ha!
Yeah. I do really believe, like, it starts out kind of just propels you into this, and then you get him going to Amanda,
yep.
which again gives you the confirmation essentially that when a movie, it's so hard to explain, when a movie can make you feel a way, but also you're trying to fight the way the movie is trying to make you
okay.
feel, like, and that's again, it's like, I feel like Joaquin is lying, but I don't have any reason to doubt him yet. That kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But then when he goes and, you know, I think he kind of lets it slide before this. But when he does go there to Amanda, and then you realize, like, oh, yeah, she is a manipulative, like, horrible person.
Yeah, but you feel like shit for Clay. You're like, God damn, why is this happening to Clay? Like, I really want to pull out of this. But
oh, yeah.
Clay's sleeping with his best friend's wife.
Yeah, and again, that confliction.
But you don't feel that. Yeah, and you're like, oh, well, Amanda's the bitch.
Well, I still feel like Clay's maybe a good guy. It's like, you know what I mean?
They're all good guys.
They're all good guys.
What would you do? She is pretty hot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well,
I mean, yeah. It's just like...
But they make her so horrible that like you kind of look over that.
Oh, you do. You're right. You do. Like there is... Even as we get to like the more very seductive moments of like her on that bed, it is still to the point that you're like... Fuck that
bitch.
My note was like, this Amanda chick has got to go.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get her out of your life.
Jeez. Like, even being there in like that lingerie, just wanting it and just wanting everything about you, you're still like,
no,
absolutely fucking not.
Toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And that's what's so beautiful about this is like it when she does go, you're kind of like, yeah.
It's 100% true.
You're kind of, and you feel bad about it, sort of.
The way she went is pretty horrible, but you know.
You know what? She was getting what she wanted. She went out doing what she wanted.
Penetrated. Yeah.
Just getting poked, you know?
But
I
love horrible.
No, we are.
I know.
I love how they intertwine funny moments, though, too. Like, even before when he has to go back and he has to clear the body up and he's trying to get Earl... like to sit up in his truck and he like can't get him to sit up. But then there's that wide shot as the truck pulls away, he hits a bum and Earl jumps up and goes, falls down. And even like when the truck drives off the cliff and he goes, oh God, fucking damn it. And then it explodes.
Yeah.
Like, I just think this movie really does it well. That perfect combo of like, drama, like mystery, sort of like not a whodunit, but just a thriller mixed with comedy. Like, this movie's fucking hilarious. I was laughing out loud so many times in this movie.
I will tell you right now, like, watching this is my definition of a black comedy.
Okay.
You know, that you're just like, this is a very, very, very dark, like, bleak scenario that they are making fun with, you know? Even with the music, the music at times, and then I have to say, you know, if Coen Brothers made every movie like this, then I would probably be a bigger Coen Brothers fan.
Okay.
Because I get a lot of Coen Brothers feeling from this movie. Do you get that?
Oh yeah.
Do you think, is this inspired by Coen Brothers, or does Coen Brothers have any inspiration from here, or do you think it's like not even
this comes
ballpark?
From someone wrote this ahead of time, who I looked him up and there's nothing to, like, I think this is all they did.
I think this is the only thing he did. Yeah.
Yeah. So he must have wrote this as like a story, a novel or something a long time ago that eventually got picked up as the film.
Yeah. And starting off, you see Scott Free Productions, which I'm like, oh fuck yeah. It's always a good sign, which is, you know, the Scott brothers. But I think it's just the 90s, man. Like, Tarantino made his two films that kind of changed everything. The Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, obviously.
Yeah, those were the two.
And then Coen Brothers came in and had their own thing. I think it was just like this kind of time where, like, I don't know,
like,
if
you were allowed
reason,
to push a little bit.
Maybe like, allowed to like see some comedy and a lot of crime, or a lot of like small town crime. And seeing the comedy in it, you saw that a lot in the 90s, and that definitely is a lot of Coen Brothers.
It's like a hot weather Fargo to a degree. To me, honestly, like some of those elements. Obviously, we're not following like an authority figure. We're following just what would be a random person. Yeah. But in the end, it's, you know, this is small town living that. Everybody's going to know everyone's business eventually. Yeah.
And that's
it doesn't take long.
Part of it too, where he's like, I can't have the whole town knowing that she was cheating on me. You know, it's like, why does that matter? You know,
who cares?
But like, if you're not from a small town, I guess you wouldn't really know.
You don't get it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's the thing. It's not that like, oh, everybody knows. And you say that and you live in a major city. Then you could literally move to another borough and like,
yeah, you'd be fine.
And be in a completely different world. But when you're in a small town that is
1,500 people,
I was just going to say, yeah. 1,500 people or less, everybody's going to know everything.
Yep.
Eventually. And eventually is not a long time frame. Yeah.
And so you get into, I mean, truth be told, when I rewatch this movie, it's still the reason I watch it is Vince Vaughn's performance and this character of Lester Long.
Takes a while for him to get here.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Kinda. It does. He shows up at the pool room at the bar for the second. He's standing over there with his hat on. Like, is this table taken? But like, he makes me laugh so hard from the beginning here. Like when they're standing around the pool table, I mean, these are quotes from me anytime I'm playing pool, when he goes, nice break. Guess your solids. I guess you're going to stay solid. Nice shot. Nice shot.
And when he goes, you're a shark, ain't you?
He goes, hey, listen, when you're done, maybe I'll just shoot mine in for the fun of it. Yeah. Just kind of see how I do. Like, I don't know. I feel like that is just Vince Vaughn for some reason. Like, that is just his comedy. I don't think it was really written that way. I just think that is who he kind of is. That quirky, like, I'll just tell some funny jokes over here in a funny way. Don't worry. Fuck me, right? You know, like, that kind of thing. I love him. This is one of my favorite Vince Vaughn roles ever.
I think you're right. It's probably one up there for me as well, because there's a level of, he is like that. He is doing like a Vince Vaughn type of character, but he's also, there's a level of vindictive manipulation that's going on here too. That's like simmering under the surface, because every time he tells a joke, he's laughing at his own joke. You know, yeah, it's a weird laugh, and it's great. I love it.
I think he plays this character very well. Like, I always go through, I try to run any sort of gambit that I can of, especially when it's an older movie like this. You know, in the 90s. Who else could have done this, or who else could play something like this? And when it becomes a difficult thing, I think that's a great sign. And especially when you have somebody like Vince Vaughn, who has such a range, you know, with what we know now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have him from, like you say, you go from Wedding Crashers to
Dodgeball,
Cell Block 99, whatever, Brawl on Cell Block. That's a range, and to kind of see this almost blend happen so early in his life and career is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And this is a terrifying person.
Yeah.
This is a terrifying person. Vince Vaughn's a tall guy, and he is an imposing figure, even though his personality, you know, helps to draw that back.
And he's like the worst person of all time, because he's personable. He knows how to talk to people. He knows how to get exactly what he wants, but he is always scheming. Every word he says or everything he does is leading towards something. Mm-hmm. And towards the end, when he gets like, they meet at the lake again, don't lower yourself, goddammit! Like, he's like, he could beat the fucking shit out of you, too.
Yeah. He's an imposing figure.
He's scary. He's like the scariest villain ever.
I know. And that's the thing. That's what makes somebody so scary, is the unknown parts of a villain.
Yeah.
You know, unbeknownst to us is
what he's done.
What he has done and what he is capable of doing.
Also the weird quirk of, like, when they're fishing and he's like, what's that in your ear? He's like, oh, so sometimes my ear bleeds. It's not a big deal. I'm like, that's a big deal.
Like, what's that?
Your ears aren't supposed to bleed like that.
I'm going to tell you, that's you've had a concussion, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah, you have. Yeah, which was a weird thing to me.
It really never got brought up again.
No.
It was just a weird thing.
It's just like a tick, I guess. Or
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't connect it later on, I guess. Yeah.
No. And then you got to talk about, I never thought about that when you said that about Janine Garofalo, but the more it's rolling through my head, I think you're right, man. I think this might be like one of her best like performances. My friends, it's January. It's the new year. I want to tell you about my resolutions. Number one, stop spending money. I'm going to get rid of my nanny, and I'm actually going to try to save.
Oh, wow.
Number two, I'm going to eat better, and I'm going to cook more often at home. So luckily, our sponsor, Every Plate, America's best value meal kit, is here to help me with both, and you should consider joining me. Every Plate is going to help you save money by delivering affordable meals right to your door, so you don't have to spend ungodly amounts of money on delivery, takeout, or eating in restaurants every day. On top of that, they save you time by allowing you to stop making all those timely, time-consuming trips to the grocery store. Time is money. We all know that. And these tasty meals that you pick out ahead of time are easy to make and are ready to be eaten in six simple steps. If I can do it, anyone can. You'll never stop patting yourself on the back for being the hero who saves your household money on top of becoming a master chef who makes delicious meals for your family. At first, I was skeptical about meal kits. There's no way that I could actually make these meals and have them taste good. Fast forward to last night, I made a honey sriracha fried chicken with a side of ranch seasoned potato wedges and sauteed zucchini. It was one of the best things I've ever had, and I literally made it from scratch from something that showed up in the mail for me from Every Plate. Their directions are easy to follow, and it is such a fun thing. It's been a part of my life now for like 3-4 months. I love doing it. I know you guys do. So please join us. Get a meal for $1.49 plus $1 steaks for life by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code 49CONFUSED. Subscription must be active to qualify and redeem the $1 steak. Get started with Every Plate for $1.49 per meal plus $1 steaks for life. everyplate.com/podcast, entering code 49CONFUSED. That's a $110 value. Thank you, Every Plate.
I really like. I think she's
perfect.
She blew me away, especially the scene with her and Vince Vaughn in the bar towards
the
end.
I think that's the best fucking scene.
I think so too. And she just completely, I don't know, man. She just blew me away. Like, she's mostly known for these comedy things, and then I'm like, I will put you on, like, as far as lady cops go in movies. I guess I'll put you up there with Frances McDormand in Fargo.
Oh, dude,
I love it.
I know. I need like an HBO series of her.
Yeah.
And solving crimes.
Definitely.
Honestly, like of this. Of
especially
this
her and her partner, too. I love her partner.
Her partner, the stone cold stoic, like straight laced guy.
Watching Lassie.
Lassie in bed.
She's watching Alien with a vibrating bed in stone, and he's getting ready to watch Lassie.
Well, and he's got all the pictures perfectly laid out on the bed. he's like very, very upright, just like, doing, doing, doing.
I like it, too, because he was like, excited to watch Lassie. Like, he's like, oh shit.
And she and again it's these kind of back and forth moments of like, I love being able to getting to see a character who has to be one thing at work and is another thing completely different in their personal
time. Stealing crime scene evidence for her own
just took the weed
benefit and movies.
And just orders a pizza and just says like has that moment with the pizza guy.
But he goes, yeah. And she goes,
yeah. Right. Right.
It's at that moment, I'm like, damn, she's the perfect woman.
Like, she's so hot to me. I don't like why.
I find her attractive.
I do too. She's like the perfect all around like girl.
Well, you know, woman. She is sitting there like, She's curious enough to just see what like the vibrating bed is like.
Yeah,
which I never understood the purpose of.
Is it a sex thing?
I didn't know if it was a sex thing.
To vibrate,
like a massage thing.
I thought it was like a massage thing that people turned into a sex thing.
What if you're a male and you lay on your belly naked on the bed and with your like kind of semi hard boner getting ready to go, and then you turn the bed on so that you're kind of like shaking back and forth against the bed.
Okay,
is that what that?
Is there
four?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I've ever tried that. I'm just saying, is that what someone would try?
Sounds like
you've tried that. Dude, I've never been in a hotel room with a vibrating bed.
And let's be honest. I was gonna ask. It's never a hotel. It's a motel.
Oh, it's a motel. please.
And for those that don't know the difference, a motel has a door on the outside of the building.
Right.
Hotels have doors on the inside of the building.
Private entry.
Yes, you need to know that.
Yes, exactly.
If you ever get invited to a motel, do not go.
Yeah, probably best not to, unless, don't.
Unless you are investigating murders or about to be murdered.
Unless that call is because there is a crime scene there and you're like, oh yeah, it's a motel. Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, let's grab a room.
So, but yes. No, I like her performance a lot in this. I think it's really, really great. And I really like getting to see how separate all these characters are living in this movie. You know they're not together.
Nope.
And you got to remember, like, Lester and Janine Garofalo's character, they never see each other until that moment, really, right? I mean,
they had never met or been in the same place until that bar scene,
right? And the connection.
Shelby is her name.
Agent Shelby. And like the connection she ends up making at that point too. But even then, I like how it got to a point. Maybe Sean, you tell me your first time seeing this. There was a moment where I started to wonder if Lester was real.
Yeah, I had that moment too.
Okay. All right. I was wondering.
Is he just, because no one else actually talks to him, kind of a thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He just pops up every once in a while.
Yeah, he just kind of appears. A lot of the time, he just kind of appears because, which again, I think is great for his character because it's like he's not making himself known until he wants to be known.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great play when you're talking about, you know, blocking shots and framing things up, and then he all of a sudden appears. But then in the end, you. Like the moment that it broke away from me was, well, now we're watching him by himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are moments we're watching him by himself now. So,
but if you go back to that bar scene, like it's the best scene in the movie, how Janine is just so guarded and she's like, no, I can buy my own drinks. Stay away from me. But then it shows you how powerful Lester Long is. Cause Lester Long gets her within 60 seconds.
Yeah.
He's like, this is how good I am. And even the thing where he's like, why don't you try my hat on? And she's like, you think it'll look good? He's like, it'll be a lot of fun at the bar, though. Like, he's just regurgitating these lines that he's used on women for the last decade. And it fucking works on her.
Yeah. Well, and I think it shows it's just a game to him.
It's completely.
At this point, and
he knows he's meeting someone, but he's like, "Here, I'm just going to try to get her first until the next girl shows up."
It's just a game for him. It's like it's just practice for keeping his chops up.
Yeah,
exactly, you know? What it is.
It's very, very twisted. But at the same time, he's like, "Well, I don't have anyone to play with right now, so I'm going to play with you.
I got about 10 minutes, and so let's see what happens.
I'm going to make it a game to see if I can break you down." And he does it very, very quickly. Yeah.
Speaking of Jeannie Garofalo, I think one of the best line deliveries I've ever heard in a long time that just made me erupt was when she finds one of the girls and is like, "Barney, could you not poke the body with a stick, please?"
I have it written down right here. They're dragging the lake. I think it's time we drag the lake. Barney. Can you not poke the body with the stick, please?
Barney's the best.
Dude, he is.
Your deputy is named Barney.
it's so fucking good.
And again, I think this is going to speak to the filmmaking of it, right? Is they very, 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 very much focus in on everybody steps over that puddle of blood.
Yeah.
It's very, very on point of like, they don't show like one, let's show the blood puddle once and then we'll acknowledge that people are in fact stepping over it. What they do is they cut back to that puddle of blood every single time somebody steps over it.
You know someone's going to step on it.
And then it's like, okay, fine. It's to the point that it's like, all right, we're over it, right? And then Barney just... It's like, would you not ruin evidence? Like, oh my god! Oh, sorry
guys.
The media is going crazy outside. What should I tell them? Or even just the idea.
It's so funny, man.
It really is. And the idea of like, hey, what are all these people doing here? Well, that's the mayor. He wanted to be here. And,
councilman, fireman,
fireman.
Why is fireman at a? At a murder
well, they
scene.
Wanted to be here, and we thought it'd be a good practice for them.
Yeah.
Like, what?
So I understand where you're coming from, but maybe for future reference, we don't have a lot of people in a crime scene.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like it's just handling it very diplomatically.
Yeah, she's so nice about it, but at the same time, she's not.
You know she's pissed.
Dude, this movie's like the perfect idea, though, of how that... Like we talk a lot about fears in life of like going to prison and stuff like that. But a fear of mine is that I'll keep digging myself. I'll keep having to dig myself deeper. And where like, you're right. If he could go back on this whole thing, like maybe he somehow could have just gone right to the cop, right to Mooney and be like, dude, here's the whole story. I was having an affair. He found out about it and he killed himself and he's trying to make it look like I did it. Like we can work through this, right? You know, like I can understand why he didn't say anything because that's scary because you could go to jail for no reason. So you try to cover it up, but now he's got to do everything. He's got to cover up his buddy. He's got to cover up Gloria. He's got to cover up Amanda. It's like the body at the lake. Like that. That gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah, it was just like one of my notes here was after Amanda killed the diner girl or whatever. Who is
Gloria.
That?
Gloria.
Gloria.
I'm like, bro, call the police.
Yes. Yeah, that
right
is
now.
Yeah.
Like, but, that's but
it.
He's like, right that he's gone too far at this point though.
It's
now,
kind of true,
because he's covered up the death of his buddy. If he had not done that, he could have gone to the cops right now. But Amanda knows. He's like, what are you going to do?
Well, at the most, what would he be charged for with, like,
murder of his buddy?
Well, not that. Like, if he, you know, gave the evidence of like, oh, like he killed himself.
But it's too late now because now he's now going to say that Amanda killed Gloria. And if he says that, then Amanda's going to be like, no, he killed
my husband.
Husband.
Yeah.
Sure.
He killed my husband. And by the way, the body,
which is why
been,
I
like,
killed
blown up now.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Well, and then like when they,
it's too late.
When Jenny Garofalo gets him in to question him, and Scott Wilson is there as well. He's like, Scott Wilson's like, you don't need a lawyer. You're not being charged with anything. I'm like, actually, I need a lawyer anyway.
Regardless. Yeah.
I don't
care.
Like, I'm not saying another fucking word.
This is frightening, and I don't want it.
And that's the other thing, too, is the moment, like, what you're asking, like, well, what would he be charged with now? I guess worst case scenario,
tampering,
like, even though he got away with, if he got away
lying
with everything.
Lying to the police, false.
I mean, basically covering it up, like, conspiracy, whatever it is about this, about you covered up him. Sure, we did figure out that he, in fact, shot himself. However, you then pushed him off a cliff in his truck that exploded, you know, that kind of stuff.
It's a smart movie. And I do think there are some things that as it goes on that maybe fall apart a little bit, but
I would say that it's pretty poorly paced in my opinion.
Okay, that's the right phrase.
It feels a little like it's dragging through mud here and
a
there.
A little bit, especially gets to the end. It just
then
goes,
you, eh. I mean, then you get lines like, when he's like, oh, you don't mind that I'm doing this with Amanda, do you? He's like, oh no, I don't care. He's like, I told you, make your own bed. He's like, okay. It's like, how'd it happen? He's like, well, so I'm sorry about your dad. I'm sorry your dad treated you like that. Oh, that's awful. And then we were here. It's like one of my favorite line deliveries of the whole thing. Cause like I said, you kind of go through mud a little bit in certain scenes in this, like when Clay's just kind of hanging out, there's not really much going on until something happens to him, you know? And then you get scenes like that or lines like that. You know?
And Joaquin, for the record's not quite the Joaquin we know yet.
Definitely
like
not.
He's good in this, but he's a little stiff. He kind of walks around with like his shoulders up a little bit. He's just kind of awkwardly. I don't know if that's him just trying to be this way, but he hasn't quite gotten into like the master that we know today.
Yeah.
But I feel like Vince Vaughn and Janine were there.
Yeah.
They were already
I feel
there.
Like that too.
Yeah. He is Joaquin Phoenix trying to be this character, whereas Vince Vaughn is Lester.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like, that's to me, that's what it feels like.
He's crawling Phoenix. He's not quite walking.
And he's certainly not running yet.
Hey!
He's not, he's not out of the ashes yet.
Slap his hand away.
Yeah.
He's he, not hasn't quite, risen he hasn't from risen from the ashes. God!
Hey!
Well, that's for Sean now.
I don't want it.
We don't do that on brunch. Okay,
all right. No, one of the other points I wanted to just kind of shut up. It's not. One of the things was like when they do find that body in the lake when they're fishing.
Man overboard.
Whoa. And he's like, he's kind of like, they're playing. It's like, well, just swing a line into it. We'll tow it in. It's like everything is so nonchalant about this. And then I was, up until that point, I was convinced that it was Gloria.
Yeah, of course.
Is that what you're supposed to be?
Yeah, you're supposed to think that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why Joaquin's like, it feels weird about it.
And Mooney then brings up, so why didn't you tell me that she was missing?
Yeah.
And it's at this point, she is still just missing, not, and that was a different girl. Mm-hmm. And that was, again, a very, very great way to play that, where you could have had a lot of stingers. You could have had a lot of like zoom ins. You could have had a lot of like of movie production telltales of like, oh, something's happening here.
Yeah.
But they still play this as a very casual conversation. And I think that's a great way of that's the way I felt about this entire movie.
Right.
They aren't here to sting you with anything. They're here to let the story unravel and you get to kind of pick up the pieces. It's like a mystery that you already know what's going on, but you're like, I didn't know that was a thing, though.
Damn.
It's really, really interesting the way the movie just carries through.
A couple line deliveries I like from Vince Vaughn a lot is some people just need killing. Like, it's just so cool. And then when Joaquin's in the prison or locked up, he says, I'm charged with murder. He's like, only one count.
Yeah. Only one count. Only one count. A pussy.
Stop being such a fucking pussy, yeah. Please.
And here's what's fucked up. Like, Lester Long, whatever his real name is actually truly going to do Joaquin's Clay a favor.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, Clay's going to get out of prison after Lester Long kills someone.
Yeah.
So it's this moral dilemma of like, well, I guess I'm going to let him.
Yeah.
I know. And that's the thing. It's really, really tough to kind of, it makes you very conflicted. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great place to put an audience
it's
into.
Pretty awesome.
It's a very good place to put them into because you feel just as conflicted. I feel like
you're
for like, him.
Hey man, if you're in prison and all it takes for you to get out of prison is for someone else to die.
Well, I just don't want it to be somebody I know.
Yeah.
Well, and then now you're adding escaping from captivity and pointing a gun at an officer and imprisoning an officer. Like, I'm sure there's a slew of charges.
Yeah, he still is going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. in all honesty, I mean, he's not free and clear. At least he shouldn't.
Apparently,
be.
He is.
But apparently, he was. I don't know how far we're going into the end of this and whatnot. But at the same time, I do really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's great for a movie. In fact, the idea of the whole ending of this, of like that fun little misdirection at the end, and Mooney's the guy, and how far are you going? Oh, let's saddle up. Let's go.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, well, what are they? What's going to happen next? Are they just going to pull him over? Why didn't they just arrest him right here? You know, so that was always a question of mine of like, well, what are we doing here? Why are we getting him in the truck to go somewhere?
Get him away from buildings so he can't hide, I guess.
Get him out in the open. Yeah. Maybe just drives to a place that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of federal agents already waiting or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like the one thing, the easy rest in where that whole thing takes place is where they film the Devil's Rejects.
Really?
Because I really like. Then one of my favorite lines that kind of like summed up the entire movie for me was when Janine was visiting Clay. What's her name? I'm sorry, in the movie.
Agent Shelby
visits
at the
Clay,
very end.
Visits like when he's moving out pretty much. And he's like, all this land come with the house? Sure does. Trouble is, so does the town.
That's beautiful.
I fucking love that. That's great.
And there's a lot of unsaid things. She pulls that photo out and it's Clay with like his dad or his grandpa in front of that house. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a family house that's been passed down from generations.
Like, that's why he couldn't just leave.
And he's like, well, I am. I'm out of here, I guess. Yeah, and are we assuming, is he really moving? Or was this all just a facade?
I mean, at this point
he's got to go, right?
You're done.
Yeah, he's the fuck out here.
So, yeah. Like, it's funny how much of a... I do really think it's a great spotlight on, you know, obviously it's taken way, way far, right? But at the same time, it is a great spotlight on like that small town living aspect of, you know, you just become it just becomes ingrained into you and in what you are and why go somewhere else. I know lots of people. I've met lots of people who have never stepped a foot outside of their small town that they live in. It's their farm and it's the small town that's next to it that has the necessities that they need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than that, that's the way they live. They've never gone anywhere else in the world. Not 10 miles beyond a certain point. You know,
never gotten on a plane.
Yeah. Not gotten in a car to go somewhere, like, unless maybe it was like a hospital or something.
Right.
Right. But other than that, and that's the way that this world really seems to be.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why you're trying to cover up everything because this is your whole life. Mm-hmm. Your whole life exists within this 10-mile radius.
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, I can just, you know, get up and out of town. It's, no, this is life, and now my life is ruined. So it's a really good perspective, I think, of why he feels the need to go through this. And it's an anxiety trip, man. It really is.
I think this is like a perfect watch for when I did watch it. Was I woke up Saturday morning and I had to snowplow my entire driveway and my sidewalks. I live on a corner lot, so I have to do fucking everything.
Thanks
I
a
did,
lot, City.
Did all that, and I came into the house, had a cup of coffee going, sat down and watched this, and it was perfect. It's a perfect, like, cool 90s pot boiler, quirky thriller, and I think you should definitely check it out.
Would you guys be willing to give me a rating of this movie on a scale of 1 to 10 that we will combine to try to entice people to watch this movie based on our rating? What do you think you would give it?
I'd go a solid. This is like almost a definition for me of a 7.
Like straight up. This is a 7. Okay?
Yeah.
What about you, AJ?
I'm pretty close in there. I think it's a little higher than that for me, cuz again, it's like Coen Brothers, but it's of the Coen Brothers stuff that I really have enjoyed watching. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I enjoy the Coen Brothers. Don't get me wrong, guys. Like, I really like the Coen Brothers and their movies, but sometimes they hit, sometimes they're a miss. I think this is on the hit side of that. And so I would go ahead and give it a 7.4.
Yeah, I'm probably more like a 7.9. I still love this movie. It was one of the first movies I felt like I knew that other people didn't know.
Yeah.
And I did hang on to that to be like, oh, you've probably never seen this movie before. It's really good.
Yeah, let me
see. Wedding Crashers, the same guy's in it, dude. He's a killer.
I'm pretty interesting because I'm showing you this movie.
Check it out.
Yeah, I give it more of a 7.9. I fucking love this movie. I think it's endlessly rewatchable from the jokes and the cool factor and fun music, and I thought it was shot really well. So yeah, I think if you are listening to this and you haven't seen it yet, I think you really should. Yeah. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It's cool.
I think it's very rewatchable, actually, to the fact of you're going to pick up on more things every time you watch it again, you know? So
yeah,
that's great.
Well, it's been fun having you here. We are going to move on. And I think up next, as far as brunches go, we're going to do I'm going to cut that out because I think, I don't know which one comes first. We don't want to talk about it.
I don't even know.
I don't
think we'll let On Trial come out first.
Okay.
So, well, thanks for being here. We love you so, so damn much. It means the world. Consider checking out patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. That's the whole reason we're here every Monday for this bonus extra episode for you. It's because of the great people there that support us. Mm. Think about joining that new tier, $25, get you some really cool extra perks. Going to be doing some live video, like streaming kind of reviews soon here in the old Discord. Live show coming up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, February 24th. We got so much fun stuff happening. Go to confusedbreakfast.com. Learn more.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, love you.
We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Deuce. Enjoy your coffee. Hope you stay warm out there.
You psychopaths.
Big yikes.
Hey, guys. I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And we're the hosts of your new favorite show, The Psychologists Are In. Each week, we go episode by episode talking about our favorite moments from psych, sharing behind-the-scenes stories, incredible memories, and even have drop-ins from our best friends and fellow cast and crew. If this sounds up your alley, listen to The Psychologists Are In on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.